Hello, everybody. Welcome back into your latest episode of Locked On Colts, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Today is your host, Evan Sidery, and I'm joined by a very special guest today's show, Stephen Reed of Stampede Blue, as we're here to talk through some house cleaning news of the Colts, some news revolving around three guys opting out of the 2020 season for the Colts, also signing a few replacements here on the margins here that might be helping out this year on the 53-man roster as far as depth goes. Then we're going to hit on training camp storylines, go over a couple of the big ones here for the Colts as we get closer and closer to the regular season open here, exactly 1 month away from Colts ball officially kicking off in Jacksonville. Stephen, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Evan. How are you doing today?
Doing good, doing good. Appreciate coming on here because I know we are finally getting back in the groove here as far as Colts ball being around the corner. Football is finally around the corner, it seems like, as the NFL is going away with the NFL season. It seems like right now, who knows about how many fans are going to be in the stands. It seems like it's really up in the air as far as that goes. And the Lucas Oil Stadium is going to have 15,000 in there this year. But you've seen some people, like the Washington football team, say there's going to be no fans this year. Same with Philadelphia, so that's up in the air. But let's start off today's show, Stephen, with the news about last week, three players for the Colts that opted out of this year. And two of them, I think, were going to play a role on special teams. And one player who I think was in a role where if one of the top corners got hurt, he would have saw significant playing time. And he was a very much, I think, a really intriguing piece to the end of this year last year. Marvell Tell, the Colts corner, second-year pro, opted out. Rolon Milligan, the Colts backup safety, the fourth-string safety, opted out, was a key special teams player too. And then Sky Moore, the backup linebacker, who I think had an outside shot making this team anyways. But those three players opted out. Steven, what was your reaction to that, and how would that impact this Colts roster?
Well, my reaction was good for them for doing the right thing for them and their family and what they think was right. It's a brave decision by them to step away and to go ahead and opt out. Now, from a selfish fan perspective, it really kind of stinks because Marvell Tell, like you mentioned, was going to be great depth. He was going to probably fight for that cornerback three, cornerback four position. On the outside. And so that one really kind of stung because you saw the promise. You saw him really start to pick it up as the season progressed. Rolon Milligan is really underrated in terms of the effects that he had on the field. And the fact that the Colts will generally play a three safety look more often than a lot of people think. And so Milligan, if any of those top three safeties go down, he would have been probably that first man up. Since right now Julian Blackman is still on the non-football injury list, or he's not active in terms of being able to play at this point. And so with regards to Sky Moore, like you said, he's kind of a fringe guy anyway, so I'm not certain that he would have made this roster, or even if he did, he might have been more of a practice squad player. But overall, I think Tellen Milligan opting out really kind of hurt a position that the Colts weren't really deep in anyway. And they're arguably their weakest position was the defensive backfield. And so that makes it a little bit more difficult. And then you see Chris Ballard immediately start to make moves to try to shore that up in terms of making the signing. And then also bringing in, I think, five cornerbacks. It was yesterday or today to in for a tryout. So you can tell that position group itself was really lacking. So that's the one that's really going to hurt, is to lose some experienced guys in that defense that really could have contributed in a pinch if necessary.
Yeah, with Marvell Tell especially, I was really looking forward to watching his growth entering into year two. Might not have seen a lot of snaps on the field if we didn't see injuries from guys like Rocky Center or Xavier Rhodes, but was a player at the end of last year, really started to flash. I think a lot of Colts fans had a lot of high hopes for Tell entering into year two, but of course, he'll be back on the roster, as will Rolon Milligan and Sky Moore entering into 2020-2021. But like we mentioned, I've seen this a couple of times, Stephen, elsewhere. I want to get your thoughts on this too, because I think it's a really good point brought up elsewhere along Colts Twitter. Do you think, I mean, obviously Marvell Tell had to opt out because of obvious reasons. They have not gone into specifics about that. Maybe it's family issues. Maybe it's more just being a health risk for guys. And we've seen many players around the NFL opt out this year with the uncertainty in the NFL, the uncertainty of the coronavirus. But if Marvell, do you think Marvell Tell has a chance to maybe fall on the back burner here as far as being not in the Colts' plans? Because I know he's going to be away from the team for almost a year, Steven. And I know on a 53-man roster, you can be easily forgotten that way. And obviously, the Colts' position at cornerback, you have Rocky Sin, you have Kenny Moore locked in as two of your three long-term starters there. But Xavier Rhodes, of course, is a free agent. I mean, if the Colts do see a top corner in next year's draft, let's say in the first, second round, Marvell took me a position where I know he had to opt out, but he could really be a player that's on the outside looking in, entering into year three, really year two for himself with opting out this year if he does step away for this long.
Yeah, I think that's the big concern for him in terms of his professional career. Is you opt out, you give up an opportunity to really kind of lock on to that spot for the future. Like you said, with Xavier Rhodes being here for 1 year, on a one-year contract right now, and again, he could sign an extension later on, you never know. But I could see the Colts going and taking a look at somebody like a Paulson Adebo out of Stanford next year in the draft in that second round. If he's available, maybe late first round, and try to upgrade that cornerback position. This is a risk for Mel Vertel, and it's a risk for him to play, and it's a risk for him to not play. And so the fact that he went ahead and opted out really kind of says something about his situation and how concerned he was for it. But yeah, he's taking a chance that he's going to lose his spot and he's not going to get it back. Now, that said, with the lack of depth at the position that the Colts have right now, I think that he's probably going to get that opportunity to try to earn back that spot, to be that cornerback three, cornerback four on the roster. But his opportunity to really kind of seize a starting spot, say if you know, God forbid there is an injury to Kenny Moore or to Xavier Rhodes or Rocky Sin, Tell would have been the guy to step up. And you see this every year where, you know, your frontline player gets injured, that backup comes in, starts to play and plays really well and really locks down that spot. So even when the starter comes back and is healthy, you've got a guy that's really in the flow. It's a risk for Tell. And I think that that's a valid argument for anybody that really kind of doubts his decision, because he is taking a chance with his professional career there.
Let's hit on the two free agent signings here. Like you mentioned at the top of the show, Steven, the Colts did bring in guys who could be looking to replace Marvell Tell for this year. Cordrea Tankersley, the former Dolphins cornerback, headlines that group. He's a very intriguing talent. I know Zach Hicks of Stampede Blues tweeted a few videos about him too. I think he's my favorite as far as the five brought in for the Colts this week. But two signings that the Colts actually made earlier this week and last week. Let's start off with Tavon Wilson, the former Lions starter in Detroit, a safety linebacker hybrid combo. Did very well for himself last year in Detroit, though, Steven. I think he had 98 tackles for the Lions last year playing that hybrid role, and he also gave you three tackles for loss. They used him in a really intriguing way up in Detroit, Matt Patricia's defense there. He chipped in a sack as well. A longtime starter in Detroit, too, over the last 4 years. He's been a stalwart there. And before that, in New England, his first 3 years of his career, he was a key special teams contributor and grew into a role bigger in Detroit. What do you think of Tavon Wilson? Because I think he could really step in and maybe be an upgrade over that Rolon Milligan, Clayton Gathers type role that we saw last year, sort of as a box hybrid.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I was really excited about that signing. And bringing him in and giving him an opportunity to play. It's one of the interesting parts about this year and this offseason specifically is you've got a lot of guys that really are high quality that could come in and be a spot starter for you that are still available in free agency. And so Chris Ballard jumped on the opportunity to get him when he had it. Once Rolon Milligan decided to opt out, you heard that Chris, I think it was within like a day or two, Chris Ballard, like you started to hear rumors. And so then he got signed and they started to go on. But yeah, in Detroit, what they used him more was, like you said, an in-the-box safety, kind of like a will linebacker to a point. And so he's a guy that really will fill in that role in Milligan role as that third safety, fourth safety, is willing to play special teams. And so it's one of those glue guys that really kind of shores up the back end of the roster. And who knows, he could be an upgrade over Rolon Milligan. One thing that I really liked about Milligan was his youth. And that he had kind of grown up in the system. And so that was a positive for me. You know, now we've got a guy that's going to be going through and he's played in New England. He's played in Detroit. And now he's coming here to Indianapolis. So he's a little bit older. But at the same time, he's a quality player. And to get a guy like that this late in free agency who can come in and you're pretty confident he can make the roster – that's a big deal, and that's a huge get for Chris Ballard and this Colts team.
Let's hit on the second signing here before we dive into our training camp storyline, Steven. The former New Orleans Saints defensive lineman. I know the Colts have already had success under Chris Bauer plucking up some backup Saints defensive lineman. Al-Qaeda Muhammad was a former New Orleans Saint. He's really developed well in this Colts system. The Colts signed Taylor Stallworth, a second, third-year pro out of the Saints system. He hasn't really done much in New Orleans his first 2 years there. He only played 8% of the snaps last year, but in 2018 played 31% of the defensive snaps at defensive tackle for the Saints as a rookie. I come back to this signing. Obviously, it's depth. Chris Bauer always loves adding the trenches here, Steven. But I keep coming back to – I haven't seen much of Stallworth's film, to be honest. But I keep wondering about a player like Tyquan Lewis. They drafted Rob Windsor. I think he has a real good chance to make this team a serve against Tyquan Lewis in that spot. And now it's another player in Taylor Stallworth who sort of plays that Tyquan Lewis type of role at defense tackle. Who knows where – if Tyquan Lewis plays outside, maybe has more of a chance here. But what do you think about the Stallworth signing and also how this could really impact a player like Tyquan Lewis who's already on the outside looking in, so to say?
Yeah, I think this signing is depth on depth. To me, the defensive line and the defensive tackle position specifically may be one of the deeper positions on the Colts roster as a whole. When you break it down, yeah, you've got DeForest Buckner-Grover, Stuart Sheldon Day, Denico Autry, you've got Rob Windsor, you've got now Tyquan Lewis in there that's vying for a spot, and now Taylor Stallworth, who's coming in. And that position, I know I missed some people in there too. And that's the crazy part, is all those guys, all six of those guys can play. And so this just seems to me like Chris Ballard's just adding more competition to this position. I don't know, and I don't really think that Taylor Stallworth is gonna make this roster. I do agree with you, though, about the fringe possibility of Tyquan Lewis. He's been pretty much, it's hard to say that he's been a disappointment. He's just been incomplete if you're grading him, because he hasn't really played. And so you've got these, he's got a golden opportunity with Jabal Sheard walking away that he, or the Colts not re-signing Jabal Sheard, to come in and play that defensive end role, that shift defensive end role, that bigger defensive end. And I really, in my gut, feel like Denico Autry is going to take that position. And then, especially listen to Brian Baker when he did some of his interviews with the media, talking about Denico Autry and having him start to learn the defensive end position a little bit more because he's been inside. So it makes me think that the Colts are looking to move Denico Autry out there. And there's only so many positions available that the Colts, or the, so many roster spots available that the Colts can put to the defensive tackle, defensive line. And I feel like Tyquan Lewis is going to be, he'll be one of those surprise cuts, I think, just because he hasn't shown it. And with the preseason not being there this year, he's not going to have an opportunity to really show against other competition that he deserves to make it. And so it's all going to be about what he's done in practice. And with, they're just pads, I think, on Monday. And so these next 14 days, these next 20 days for Tyquan Lewis is basically going to make or break whether he gets to remain with the Colts or not. I think he'll get picked up elsewhere if he does get cut, but I don't think it is a lock he makes this roster. And quite frankly, I think that he might be one of those fringe guys that gets cut.
Colts fans, the best tasting protein bar is back, Built Bar. They have so many new flavors for you, 18 amazing flavors, including nut and non-nut flavors. The six new ones I went home with you today: caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. They have so much great tasting protein bars, and 12 original ones too. They're all covered in 100% chocolate, and they're soft and easy to chew. Built Bar is great for the health conscious guy out there too. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. The bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, and high fiber, and great for a keto diet. For example, a peanut butter brownie has 19 grams protein, 180 calories, 5 grams sugar, and 5 grams net carbs. And coconut almond, too, 18 grams protein, 180 calories, 5 grams sugar, and 5 grams net carbs. So that really goes to show you that a very satisfying protein bar like Built Bar will tide you over throughout the day and make you even more healthy. For a free cooler with purchase while supplies last, go ahead and have the reset code for this relaunch at Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, and you'll get $10 off your first order of Built Bars. Again, use promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, for $10 off at BuiltBar.com, BuiltBar.com. I agree with you. I think Tyquan Lewis is one of the players to watch in training camp this year. Of course, it's going to be a lot different environment. It's at the West 56 facility for the Indianapolis Colts. No obvious public training camp this year back in Grant Park and Westfield. But let's dive into the training camp storylines here, Stephen, because I think the first and most biggest one, we went over the news there with COVID-19, Marvell Tell leading that group of opting out, going over the Tavon Wilson, Taylor Stallworth signings. But what do you think of Philip Rivers as we get closer and closer this season? We've heard rave reviews so far out of West 56 about Philip Rivers, whether it be from the players, the coaching staff, as being sort of a pseudo coach out there and really doing well as far as it goes for his receivers too, learning guys like Michael Pittman Jr., Paris Campbell, T.Y. Hilton. As we get closer and closer to September 13th, Stephen, what's your expectations and hopes for Philip Rivers in 2020?
I have huge hopes for Philip Rivers. And I don't mean to be like just a super fanatic on this, but I think that he can be in that year that in 2018 when he was an MVP candidate, I think he can get back to that in relatively easily based on the weapons that he has around him. This is the best offensive team Philip Rivers has ever played with. And I don't feel like I'm over exaggerating that. This is by far the best offensive line that he's ever played with. The running back position for the Colts is just so deep. You've got four guys that you feel confident at any point giving the ball to them. And you're like, all right, I'm good. I'm good with that. You've got wide receivers that are all over the place in terms of T.Y. Hilton and Paris Campbell, where you have to know where they are. Zach Pascal does everything you ask him to. Michael Pittman Jr. is going to be a beast going up and getting balls. And he's such a just a technician and a great overall wide receiver. Philip Rivers is going to have an opportunity to really put this offense over the top. And this offense is going to give him an opportunity to really excel. Part of that is, like I said, the offensive line and running backs. So teams aren't going to be able to he's going to bring up the running game for the Colts because teams are no longer going to be able to stack the box like they did against Jacoby Brissett. And that no matter what, you have to respect Philip Rivers, and he's going to open up the passing game because Philip Rivers is going to let it fly. Like, that guy is a risk taker. He's going to throw the ball down the field. And when you've got wide receivers like Paris Campbell, who runs in that 4.2, 4.3 range, and you've got T.Y. Hilton that's still a burner, you feel pretty confident that your guy's going to go get that ball. And so I look at this and I say, I'm really pumped up about Philip Rivers. And I think that he's going to be that piece that bumps it over the top. You hear all these storylines from players talking about how intense Philip Rivers is, how much he just loves the game. And then you add in the fact that he is a veteran. He's got familiarity with the system. And so the Colts are going to hit the ground running, which I think is a kind of a undelved into storyline to start the year, is that teams that have veterans and that have consistency are going to really kind of jump off from the start from week one to week two to week three. Because most times you've got those preseason games to kind of like work your way in. But this year you don't have that. So those teams that have that consistency and have that familiarity, they're more likely to hit the ground running. And the Colts opening against Jacksonville is just an even better situation for the Colts. Because even though it's on the road, even though it's at Jacksonville, you're still going up against the Jacksonville Jaguars team that's young and experienced and not that talented. And so you've got a team that's really got an opportunity here to put it, and I think put it over the top. And I think Philip Rivers in this system with these players is just such a great match.
I think a few underrated storylines too about Philip Rivers are going to hit on for just the next few minutes, Stephen. And the first one I hit on with you, compared to players like Tom Brady going in Bruce Arians' system, Cam Newton obviously going to Bill Belichick, others around the NFL as far as quarterback movement this year, there's a lot of it. But Philip Rivers has played for Frank Reich and Nick Sirianni in the past. They've raved about him before, and they're raving about him already at West 56th Street. And even Philip Rivers says he knows his offense. There's just a few little things as far as terminology goes, and he should probably already have that down by now, being in Indianapolis for the last month plus and being in the playbook since early March. I think compared to those quarterbacks, like a Tom Brady, like a Cam Newton in New England, Stephen, I think Philip Rivers has the biggest advantage from the biggest star quarterbacks moving teams this offseason because he's playing under Frank Reich and he knows this offense. I think he's going to step in from day one and really already know this thing and really have it by the, like, the back of his hand.
Yeah, I think that in terms of the best position for quarterbacks in terms of transitions from team to team, this one is right up there, number one, in terms of familiarity. Philip Rivers is going to come in. It's going to hit the ground running, like you said. You've got Cam Newton, who's going to have to learn, try to play within a system, which is kind of not his thing. And then you've got Tom Brady, who's going to a completely different system. You know, because in New England, you had the dink and dunk. You had, I don't think, Tom Brady, for like his top years, he led the league in yards after catch. Like, that's his yards per completion was crazy low, and they just schemed him all open. Now he's going to Bruce Arians' system where they throw the ball over and throw it deep, and yeah, that's going to be different for him. But Tom Brady, in terms of the weapons, maybe has the better weapons in terms of, you know, Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, Gronkowski. He's got some really good weapons down there, so that would be my only hesitation. But in terms of familiarity and making that smooth transition, it's Philip Rivers all day, and I don't think it's that close.
Also with Philip Rivers, too, I've tweeted this before on the Locked On Colts account last week that you compare him to Jacoby Brissett in 2018, Andrew Luck, as far as time to throw and his release time. I think the Colts offensive line should bounce right back to 2018 for him, Steven. They only allowed 18 sacks in 2018-19. I think they allowed a 25 or so this past year, but Jacoby Brissett, I think, had about 7 or 8 on himself there because he has held the ball too long. He missed so many open receivers. He was very hesitant and really – I think missed so many good opportunities for this Colts offense that I think later in the year we saw more and more that Frank Reich was honestly just not wanting to use Jacoby Brissett as a quarterback in the system. And I think Philip Rivers had the exact same release time as Andrew Luck did in 2018. Jacoby Brissett was, I think, a half second longer than both those guys. And if Andrew Luck and Philip Rivers are the exact same as far as release time goes, Steven, this offense and this offensive line should bounce back to 2018 for him, right?
Yeah, and that's the biggest – that was the biggest – well, there's several big issues with Jacoby Brissett, but that was one of the biggest, is that he held the ball on for too long. Philip Rivers, he makes that decision. He's so familiar with the offense that he makes that decision and he goes. And, you know, at this stage in his career, he's seen pretty much everything that a defense is going to throw at him. And so he's going to know exactly where he's going to go with the ball before the snap. And so that's going to make sure that the offensive line doesn't have to block as long. It's going to decrease sack numbers. And like I said, I think Philip Rivers had a real opportunity. This is a low-key good bet if you really want to, like, throw a little extra cash on there. Again, not promoting gambling, but Philip Rivers for MVP, you probably get pretty good odds on it right now.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. I think on DraftKings, it's like a plus 600 or 700 or something like that. If I was a Colts fan, I would definitely pounce on that right away because I think Philip Rivers is set up to bounce back to 2018 form, where just 2 years ago he was an MVP candidate, led a charge to a 12-4 season. And on yesterday's episode, Steven, I mentioned that I think the Colts are in a position to be a double-digit win team with Philip Rivers. I think they're going to be 12-4. That was my prediction on the show yesterday, and I think that's going to hold strong. And like you mentioned at the top, before we transition on to our next topic as far as training camp storylines go, this Colts schedule in the first 2 months of the year, Steven, I think it's fair to say this team has a good shot going 7-0, eliminating home field advantage with COVID-19. I wonder how it's going to impact things, but you see this roster, you see Philip Rivers being upgraded to Jacoby Brissett, I think, by a huge margin there. Is it fair to say this Colts team, like you mentioned, could get really hot right away and hit the ground running, maybe be 7-0 through the end of October?
Yeah, I think that's legit. And when I've made my schedule predictions on it, I have a hard time having them not go 7-0 to start, just based on the teams that they play and when they play them and where. I sit there and I look and I go, all right, you know, you've got, you know, Jacksonville, Minnesota, the Jets, the Bears, the Browns, the Bengals, the Lions. That's how you start the year. That's your first 7 games. You feel really confident as a Colts fan that none of those teams are probably going to beat you. Maybe the Browns. And that's about the only one. And then you run into a little bit tougher section in there in the middle, but yeah, I typically have the Colts either going somewhere between the 12-4, 13-3 range over the course of a season, just because I don't see with this team and these players that the depth of this roster, like, this is maybe one of the deepest rosters we've seen in probably 20 years of the Colts, and from top to bottom. And I know that, again, people are going to say, oh, no, that's ridiculous. They have Super Bowl teams. I think this is a legitimate Super Bowl team with the players that they have and with the defensive players they have and the offensive players they have. So I'm right there with you with, like, having them be 11, 12, 13 wins. I definitely think they get to double digits. I definitely think that they win the AFC South. And that's kind of where I'm at in terms of the schedule.
I agree with you. I think they're going to lead that tier two as far as being right below Kansas City, right below Baltimore. And I really like their chances too in January football. And that leads me into my second storyline of this training camp here, as pads will be put on next week for the Colts. They are currently practicing without Kristen Shells right now. I wanted to hit on the running back position for this Colts team. Marlon Mack, Jonathan Taylor, Frank Reich has been adamant throughout the last 2 weeks that's going to be a 1-1 sort of split between Marlon Mack, Jonathan Taylor here. But I just keep coming back to Jonathan Taylor, keep seeing the videos of him, see the pictures of him in his Colts jersey. He's an absolute freak show as far as physical specimen goes. He looks like a Saquon Barkley type, even bigger than Saquon, honestly, when he came out of Penn State, Steven. I think if I was in the Colts position, and obviously Jonathan Taylor's going to have a little bit of a adjustment period entering a new system. He just arrived with the rookies a couple weeks ago. But I really think by week four, week six, Steven, Jonathan Taylor is too good to keep off the field for less than 50% of the snaps for this Colts running back unit. I think he's going to have a couple monster games this year with Marlon Mack. But what do you think of that 1-1 duo that Reich says with Mack, with Jonathan Taylor? And who do you see coming out on top in that running back group?
Yeah, I think that in terms of the two of them, they both have some great traits. When you're It's funny that you mentioned the Saquon Barkley comparison to Jonathan Taylor, because if you look at the measurables from the two of them at the combine, they're almost identical except for Jonathan Taylor's heavier. And so that's kind of the mind-blowing thing that people don't – they just look at the number of carries that Jonathan Taylor had, and they look at the fumbles that he had, and they like to try to dismiss him as comparing him to Saquon Barkley. He's a really similar style of player to Saquon Barkley in terms of speed and size and – just total package as a running back. I think if we're saying end of year, I think Jonathan Taylor probably takes it. I think they're going to work Marlon Mack to start and then kind of work, sprinkle in Jonathan Taylor. And like Frank Reich said that they're going to go with the hot hand. So Marlon Mack's going to be the starter, I think, for the majority of the year, but that doesn't mean that he's going to get the most carries in a game. And so I think you're going to see a lot of games where Marlon Mack, the starter, gets, you know, 10, 12 carries, but then Jonathan Taylor is going to get hot and they're going to give him 15 to 20 carries. And that's kind of where I think that they're probably going to go with it. But again, this running back position is very deep for the Colts, and Colts fans should be really excited about the depth that Chris Ballard's put together.
Definitely agree with you there. I'm going to be really excited to see this duo in action, especially Jonathan Taylor, because I think there's going to be games this year where just we see Taylor's film at Wisconsin. I think he's going to transition right into a huge role with this Colts offense. But let's transition on to another storyline here, Steven. More and more, I know I've hit on this multiple times on the show throughout the last few months here, but I think when we finally see him in game action, Colts fans are just going to be stunned by the impact he makes on this defense, and that's DeForest Buckner, because not only the front four, but also Darius Leonard, the secondary too, I think is going to have less pressure on them. Already, not even taking a snap for this Colts team, Steve. I think he's the best three tech in Colts franchise history. He's already entering into his prime as a 26-year-old. What do you think of DeForest Buckner learning this Colts defense and the impact he's going to make on Indy?
Yeah, I think that in terms of learning the defense, I think it's probably pretty similar to what he ran at San Francisco. And so what he did in 49ers, I don't think that's going to be much of a transition for him. But in terms of the transition of having the different players behind him, DeForest Buckner's never had a player like Darius Leonard behind him. And Darius Leonard's never had a guy like DeForest Buckner in front of him. And those two are just going to feed off each other. And just giving Darius Leonard more space, keeping him clean, is he could legitimately get to 200 tackles this year if he stays healthy. And I don't think that that's hyperbole at all. I just think he's that good. And DeForest Buckner is that good to where offensive lines have to account for him. Versus before, you could try to get a guy, like try to take DeNico Autry with one guy and all that, and you didn't feel as bad about that. So you could maybe release somebody to go after Darius Leonard, or at least get in his way and kind of muddy the waters in front of him. Now you can't do that with DeForest Buckner there. And like I said, DeForest Buckner changes the dynamic of this defense on every level. He increases the ability of the interior defensive line to get a pass rush, which is huge. It's the reason why the New York Giants kept beating the New England Patriots in the Super Bowls all those years is because the New York Giants could get that interior pressure in Tom Brady's face. And that was it. Like, he couldn't do it. It's why Peyton Manning had issues for years, is because they would bring blitz pressures up into his face, and it makes quarterbacks uncomfortable. You're going to make Bobby Okereke's going to be clean. Anthony Walker's going to be cleaner. Darius Leonard's going to be cleaner. You're going to have all these linebackers being able to fly around. And with getting more pressure up the middle, you're going to have less time for the quarterback to throw, or they're going to be rushed, which is going to make more opportunities for those defensive backs. So DeForest Buckner is one player that could significantly alter the course of this defense. And it's not – Chris Ballard sat there from day one and talked about the three technique. And the three technique runs this thing. Three technique drives this defense. And he's absolutely right. And DeForest Buckner is arguably a top two, top three three technique defensive tackle next to Aaron Donald. And then I'm not sure who you take over DeForest Buckner at this point in their careers.
I agree with you. I think Buckner's already a top three defense tackle in this league, and entering into this Colts defense, he's going to be helped so much by Darius Leonard. So helped so much by guys like Kamoko Ture, Justin Houston on the front four there too. I think this defense is poised for a top 10 year. And if this Colts defense, Steven, jumps into a top 10 defense, we already talked about the offense of Phillip Rivers. I think they're going to be really good this year. The familiarity is there already with Reich and Rivers, and this offense with the new playmakers on board, health permitting, I think they're going to be a top 10 offense too. I think the recipe is kind of coming in place here, Steven. If Buckner does make the impact we all expect on this defense, they're going to be top 10 on both sides of the ball here. And that's just hard to deny there. If this Colts team is really top 10 on both sides of the football there, you are built to be a legit title contender. You hit on this before in the show earlier, Steven, but I just keep coming back to this as we're talking more and more about it. I think this Colts defense and this Colts overall, this team this year, could be a top five, top seven team in the NFL themselves this year. I think they're poised for a huge bounce back from 7-9.
Yeah, and the crazy thing is, even the 7-9, like, they were, what, 3-4 kicks away from being, what, 11-5? Like, that's the crazy thing, is the talent that they had with Jacoby Brissett at quarterback and with Brian Hoyer at quarterback still won seven games last year and should have one more, should have had at least 10 wins last year. And now you upgraded Jacoby Brissett to Phillip Rivers from Jacoby Brissett, and you upgrade your wide receiver position, and you upgrade your most important position on your defense. You upgrade your cornerback position with Xavier Rhodes. Like this Colts team got a lot better, and people are just sleeping on them. And again, I am a fan, don't get me wrong, but, you know, objectively speaking, on paper, this is a much, much better team than last year, and they were 3 or 4 kicks away from being a 10-win team, winning the AFC South outright. And so I think having a significant upgrade in quarterback, because Jacoby Brissett was like, what, a bottom third quarterback, and Phillip Rivers is a top third quarterback. Quarterbacks really can make this. And again, you just got the second best defensive tackle in the game in DeForest Buckner to be that centerpiece to your defense. This is a totally different Colts team, and I think fans are going to love it. And I think that they're going to have a legitimate opportunity to, if they stay healthy, to compete in the AFC and possibly compete for the Super Bowl.
I agree with you. I think this Colts team is right up there in this AFC this year. And one more, as far as storylines go, I think the training camp battles here on the surface are going to be really fun to watch. And I really wonder too, Steven, how it's going to be for a player like Xavier Rhodes, Rocky Asin. Let's hit on some camp battles here before we end today's show. And the first one I want to hit on with you is at cornerback. I really wonder now, with Marvell Tell being out the depth there, they're going to add at least one or two guys there. But who do you think is going to be winning out that base package there as they roll out? You're going to only have two corners out there, and you're going to, of course, have Kenny Moore out there for all the snaps. He plays at least in base on the outside all the time there. who do you think is going to win that battle between Xavier Rhodes, is on a one-year prove-it deal, and he's obviously motivated this year, or Rocky Asin, who really started to ascend the last part of the year?
I think if we're just comparing Xavier Rhodes and Rocky Asin, you're probably going to give the leg up to Rocky Asin, just based on familiarity in the defense and the fact that if you watch the end of his season last year, he was really good at the cornerback position. Xavier Rhodes really kind of has to prove it, and he's not going to get an opportunity to show that in the preseason. And so if you're telling me I have to bet now on either Xavier Rhodes or Rocky Asin, I'm going to sway with Rocky Asin just because he's a commodity that I know that's a strong commodity. And Xavier Rhodes is making that transition from that Minnesota defense to the Colts defense, which is a little bit different. So I'd feel a little bit more comfortable with Rocky Asin in this situation.
Last one I went in with you as far as camp battles go. There's really not much on the table here. I know at wide receiver, there's some saying Zach Pascal might sneak in and take some snaps from Paris Campbell and Michael Cohen. But I think if health permits, I really like the trio starting there. And Pascal being a legit number four option is going to be fun to watch there. But T.Y. at one, Pittman at the outside, Paris in the slot, and Pascal. That's a really fun quartet there. But really the main camp battle I wanted to hang out with you before we close out today's show, Stephen. Bobby Okereke versus Anthony Walker for the Mike spot. I keep waffling back and forth each day about it. Who do you think gets the nod there at Mike? As we'll probably see a split there with Walker playing a lot of rundowns and Okereke playing a lot of pass downs there. But who do you think gets the nod as far as starting games?
Man, that's a great question. I think by the end of the season, you're probably going to see it as Bobby Okereke gets the majority of the snaps. And when they run the two linebacker set, so when you're running nickel and dime, like I think you're probably going to see Bobby Okereke. I could see them playing more base defense because of the speed of Okereke and Darius Leonard. You're basically having a bigger version of a safety in there at a linebacker position. And so I could see them running base defense and running all three. But if you're going to make me choose between the two, I think that you're probably going to see Bobby Okereke come out in the end just because of how high the Colts are on him and the fact that Anthony Walker is on the last year of his deal. Now, that being said, Anthony Walker being on the last year of his deal, this is a prove-it year for him. Guys tend to play when their paychecks are on the line. And so for me, I'm leaning towards Bobby Okereke, but I could see them definitely splitting, like you said, and it's probably going to be more likely they're going to split snaps more than anything else.
Stephen, always enjoy talking with you. We're back in the groove here on Locked On Colts to review with you guys 5 days a week starting next week. And as we get closer and closer to the Colts ball, you're going to be hearing a lot more from Stephen and the rest of our guests we have all throughout this year. Stephen, appreciate the time. You can go follow him on Twitter at NiceReads. Stephen, go read his work and listen to his work over at Stampede. But we appreciate the time, Stephen.
Thanks, Evan. Have a great one.